Now I know how you feel, like an experiment. In 1994, during the Battle of Leyte Gulf, the Japanese became so desperate during their fight against the Americans that they began to launch what was known as the kamikaze mission. The pilot would take a plane and they would load it with as many bombs as it could carry, and then they would strip it of all its instruments, only those that were necessary to keep it up in the air. And this pilot would fly that plane into an enemy ship or an enemy base, and he would fly it to his death. But the thing about these pilots was that they were totally given to their cause. They would wear a white scarf, which would differentiate them from the other soldiers. And what that would do is whenever these soldiers would walk by with the white scarf, their other soldiers would respect them and honor them because they were willing to give up everything for the fight that they believed was a right cause. Now, I wonder how many of us as Christians today would be kamikazes for Christ. Would we consider ourselves to wear that white scarf of honor that they considered it to be? Are we those who will go all the way, no matter what, giving our all? Or will we be like the kamikaze who flew on 6 different missions? He always chickened out at the very last minute. Just went out and didn't give his all for that cause. Well, tonight I'd like us to look at just 3 different points that I'd like us to look, first of all, at 2 examples of people who have given their all for the cause of Christ and for the will of God. And then I'd like to ask us a simple question. So before we start tonight, let's go to the Lord in word of prayer and ask for His help. Our Heavenly Father, I ask that You would please fill me with Your Holy Spirit. Lord, that You would help me to be a blessing to these people, Lord, that I consider my friends and my family. Lord, I pray that what I have to say tonight, what You have given me to say, would honor and glorify You, and that, Lord, in everything that is said and that is done, would You receive all the honor and the glory for it. Lord, we love You, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, our first text tonight, we're going to be jumping around the Bible tonight. Since Scripture is a perfect commentary for Scripture, we'll be looking at many passages tonight. But our first one is going to be a simple one, John chapter 3, verse 16. In John chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I'd like for us tonight to focus on the first part of that verse. So the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." The first person I want us to look at tonight who was willing to give his all for the cause of Christ was God Himself. You see, when Jesus came to this earth, I realized this over the Christmas break, and I had always known it, but I never really thought about it in the true context of it. When Jesus came to earth, it was literally God in the flesh. We know it was God the Son, but it was God the Father, God the Holy Spirit as well, because these three cannot be separated because they are one. And that's proven in Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. The Bible says, "For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." So when you looked at Christ, you saw God. That's why Jesus said when Philip asked Him to show us the Father, Philip said, "Show us the Father and it'll suffice us." And Jesus said, "Have you been with Me for so long?" He said, "You've seen Me, you've seen the Father." So Jesus was God. And we need to understand that fact to make this so amazing, because the eternal God came to this earth. He set aside the glories of heaven, the power of heaven, took on flesh, and became just like you and me. I mean, you could see Jesus just as if I was standing up here. You could see Jesus. He was real. But the thing about it is that He didn't come as a great king, as many would expect. He didn't even show Himself to be God except by what He said. And then the one time He was up on the mountain of Transfiguration. So we had no idea that He was God, because in Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8, the Bible says, "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, among Bible scholars, and here's something I learned while I was at school, Dad. Among Bible scholars, this is known as the kenosis passage. Now, that Greek word kenosis means to empty out. It means to completely rid oneself of something. So if I took a cup of water and I poured out all the water, and then I took a towel and dried it out, it is completely empty of water. And that is what Jesus did with His glory. He emptied Himself out. He set it aside. And He totally depended on the power and the work of God the Father. So in this way, He really is our great example. Because just as Jesus depended totally on God the Father, we too can depend totally on God the Father. So we see that God was willing to empty Himself. He was willing to give it all up so the way He could come to earth to save us. Second thing God chose to give up was His own life. You see, He chose to die. No man took His life. He laid it down. Jesus Himself said that. And He said, when I lay it down, I'm able to take it up again. And it's because of that we have the hope of eternal salvation. You see, God gave up His Son to be sin for us. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, the Bible says, "For He hath made Him," that's Jesus, "to be sin for us, not just to take our sin, but to become our sin." Jesus became our sin and took it from us. "Who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." You see, Jesus came to make us gods, to give us the righteousness of God, so that way we could spend eternity with Him someday. Jesus was willing to give His all. He was willing to give His glory, and He was willing to give His own life, so that way you and I could know the love of God. Now, I know what some of you might be thinking, and I know that because I've thought the same thing sometimes. Well, God is God, and He can do whatever He wants. That's a bad way to think, but we're human. It's true. So, in that case, I'd like to give you a human example of someone who is willing to give their all for the cause of Christ and for the will of God. And that person is Abraham. Our second person is Abraham gave his all. See, Abraham, first of all, had to give up his home. We first meet Abraham in Genesis chapter 11, verse 26. However, his story does not actually begin until Genesis chapter 12. The Bible says in Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." What an amazing promise. There was just one condition to it. Abraham had to get thee out of thy country. Abraham had to basically pack up shop and leave. You see, the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Abraham didn't know why he was leaving. Abraham didn't know where he was going. He was probably going to a desert he had never even been to live in a tent. He had to give up his big city life, his high-paying job, his chariot, his cart and his chariot. He had to give up everything he knew. He grew up in Ur of the Chaldees, which was one of the largest cities of the ancient time. But God said, "Abraham, I'm going to give you this, make you a great nation. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to curse those that curse you. And you're going to be a blessing to all people. But you have to move." Abraham was willing to give up his home. He was willing to set aside everything he knew and step out by faith to follow the promise of God. And the Bible says that it was accounted unto him for righteousness. So we see that Abraham was willing to give up his home. Secondly, Abraham was willing to give up his own son, just like God was. You see, the Bible, we saw that great promise that was given to him in Genesis 2, verses 2 through 3, chapter 12, that he would become a great nation. There's one problem, though. As you know the story, he didn't have a son. But God said that, "I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son." That was found in Genesis 18, verse 10. So, God said, Abraham, I'm going to give you a son. And Abraham said, well, sir, my Lord, you know that Sarah is barren. You know that she can't have children. And Abraham said, and God said, well, don't worry. I'll take care of that. I'll give you guys, I'll rewind the clock for you and let you have a son. Well, Sarah didn't quite believe that promise, and so she brought Hagar to Abraham, which wasn't God's plan. Because the Bible said that he would have a son through Sarah. So after some time, finally, God kept his word, which God always does. This Bible right here is full of promises. And every promise to you and to me, God will keep it if we trust him. So we see that Abraham here was 100 years old when he had his son, and Sarah was 90. So God really did have to crank back the clock for them to have a son. But according to his word, Sarah was pregnant. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 21, verse 2, for Sarah conceived at the set time of which God had spoken to him. See, God said, I'm going to give you a son, and he's going to come at such and such a time. Well, just like God said, there came Isaac, his firstborn son, the son in whom he would become a great nation and a great blessing to the people of the world. That promise in Genesis chapter 12 was fulfilled some 9 chapters later in Genesis chapter 21. And it's kind of funny because it's in the very same verse. It says in verse 2 of 21 that Sarah conceived. And in chapter 12, verse 2, God gave him a promise. It's amazing how God works those things out for us. But you know, one day God came up to Abraham and he said, Abraham, I've got something I want you to do. In chapter 22, verses 1 through 2, the Bible says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. And in verse 2 it says, and he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. So you see, Abraham now had a choice. He could choose to believe the promises of God, that God would make him a great nation through this son. But he would have to do this little thing of taking his son's life, offering him on an altar. And Abraham didn't know the end of the story. He didn't know that God was going to stay his hand and provide a ram. He didn't know that. He just knew that God told him to take his son to a mountain in Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering. So what did Abraham do? The Bible says that Abraham rose up early in the morning. He didn't wait till the last minute to do what God told him to do. He got up the very next day, first thing in the morning, and he saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. See, humanly speaking, that doesn't make any sense to us. God gave you a son. He said, here, this is the son that I promised you. A chapter later, God says, I want you to take your son's life. I want you to offer him for a burnt sacrifice to me. God asked Abraham to give his all. First with his home. And then he asked Abraham, give your all. This is your heir in which you will become a great nation. I want you to give him to me. Abraham was willing to give his all for the cause of Christ and for the will of God. You see, Abraham believed what God said, that he would become a great nation, that Isaac was his promised son, and that all families of the earth would be blessed through him. And like I said earlier, this was what God imputed to Abraham for righteousness. And I just want you to know that this is a perfect picture of what Jesus Christ did for us. You see, God was willing to give his son and offer him for a sacrifice so that way we could be saved. And God gave his all. And if it wasn't for Abraham willing to give up his all as well, we would have missed this beautiful picture in the Old Testament of what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. So now I just want to ask us each here one question. will we give our all? And this is myself included. When I got to school, this was one of the first things I had to ask myself. Would I be willing to do this if God wanted me to? I had to leave my family and had to come to school. And I honestly didn't want to go. I was happy being here in Singapore. So I had to ask myself, would I be willing to give this up if God asked me to? And He did, and brought me to school. And I've been able to study under the ministry of many godly men and women. And I've really got to grow in what God has taught me. You see, the Bible says in Mark chapter 8, verse 34, Jesus Himself said it, "Whosoever will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me." Paul said it very well, too, about being about giving your all in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." This is your reasonable service, to give your all for Christ. This is my reasonable service, to give my all for Christ because of what Jesus did for me on the cross almost 2,000 years ago. So I would like to ask each and every one of us here a simple question. Are we denying ourselves? Are we taking up our cross? Are we presenting our bodies to the cause of Christ and to the will of God? You see, Jesus did that so that way we could just know that God loved us. In John chapter 15, verse 13, Jesus said, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." It reminds me of the words to the song, "Oh, how He loves you and me. Oh, how He loves you and me. Oh, how He loves you and me. He gave His life, what more could He give? Oh, how He loves you. Oh, how He loves me. Oh, how He loves you and me." But you know, I'm afraid that we don't love Him as much as He loved us. You see, if we did love Jesus like we ought to, He wouldn't have had to say this. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 16, I can just hear Jesus' voice pleading with us, saying, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. You see, for if any man loved the world, the love of the Father is not in him." That doesn't mean that God doesn't love us, but that means our love for God is not there. We don't have any room for it. We're too busy loving the things of this world. "For all that is in the world, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." You see, as Christians, we shouldn't love the things of this world. We should be willing to give them up at a moment's notice. Everything in this life must take second place to God, because it's not going to count for eternity. Now, does that mean we should live poor lives and live destitute of our natural things? No. God enjoys giving us things to enjoy. God doesn't mind if we have a nice house, a nice car, a nice job. We have a nice paycheck. But would you be willing to give those up? Because they're only temporary. The Bible says in the next verse that the world passeth away. It's all going to go someday. But the thing is, would you be willing to use it right now? Would you be willing to give it right now for the glory of God and make it count for eternity? You see, it's all going to disappear and we can't take it with us. And when we die, we'll stand before God empty-handed unless we use those things that we have in this life for His honor and for His glory. You see, the Bible continues to say in that same verse, 1 John chapter 2, verse 17, the last part, "But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." So would we be willing to give up those things that we love the most to do the will of God? You see, both God Himself and Abraham were willing to set aside their power, their glory, their riches, and their own sons' lives for us, for an example. They were willing to do it for the will of God. They gave it all up. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, "No man can serve two masters." So are we willing to give our all? We need to be searching our hearts every day and find those things that we treasure the most in this world and genuinely ask ourselves. And this was the prayer that I prayed every day for a long time until I knew that I was willing to give it up. I would pray, would I give this up if God asked me to? God may not ask you to give it up. He didn't ask Abraham to give his son. He didn't ask Abraham to take his son's life. But he wanted to know, was he willing? Was Abraham willing to give up his son? Because when God stopped Abraham, Abraham heard God say, "Now I know that you love me more than your son." So is there anything in your life that you may or may not value more than God? Pray about it. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 139, verses 23 and 24, and if you have your Bible, I hope you'll turn there and underline this verse. In Psalms 139, verses 23 and 24, the psalmist says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Will you let God search your heart tonight? Would you be willing to give your all for the cause of Christ? And if you're not saved here tonight, are you aware of what God did for you on the cross of Calvary? He loved you so much, and He still loves you today. So may I encourage you and may I challenge you, and including myself, may we, as a body of believers, give our all for Christ till He comes. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. We're to be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we thank You.